Okay, once again, 2 Chronicles 7, verses 12 through 14. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. And we're using a framework adapted from the Battle Plan for Prayer Bible Study curriculum that was developed by Stephen and Alex Kendrick. We're looking at several practical elements of prayer as the means of the spiritual growth of the Lord's church on earth today. Our last consideration of prayer deals with the following question. What does it look like when we are praying in faith? That is the concern before us this morning in our conclusion of our vital study of the practical application of effective prayer. Do we really believe that God will answer our prayers, or do we just give voice to things that we hope will happen sometime in the future? Do we actually just treat prayer as if it were a wish list or a bucket list of those things we hope God will accomplish before we die? We have the rich promise set before us by the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 3, 8 through 12, in which he detailed the glorious plan of God in Jesus Christ. Please open to it and let us stand up together as we read it. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 8 through 12. Ephesians 3, 8 through 12. To me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery for which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things, in order that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in him. Amen. You may be seated. This boldness of access to the very throne of God means that we have no guilt in coming before him. We have no doubt that he will hear and he will answer because we come in the faith that we have in his only begotten Son. It is Jesus himself in Matthew 21, 21 and 22 who so tells us that we will receive those things that we ask of the Father if we do so in faith in him. Matthew 21, verses 21 and 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not only do what was done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. As well, Brother James details that we must ask in the bedrock assurance of the Lord's response in James 1, 6 through 8, as opposed to those who doubt. James 1, 6 through 8, but let him ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let me interject a word of caution on this matter that we best keep in our hearts. We are still dealing with the truth that we need to pray after the will of God. We do not pray with the idea that if we believe hard enough and if we believe long enough, God will have to give us what we want. That is trying to manipulate God, and that is something we dare never attempt. God will not abide, nor will He respond positively because of our trying to handle Him. We must always pray in submission to His will, being the very basis of each of our prayers. In that truth, with hearts that earnestly desire to express our faith in God, when we pray, we must begin with thanksgiving unto God. We know this from Philippians 4, 6, and 7, in that tremendous passage which details the full truth that we are to be anxious for nothing. We are not to be worried or stressed, but rather we are thanking the Lord for who He is and all that He has done. We recount before Him and unto Him the gratitude that fills our beings for His so great and benevolent love to us. Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We pray with faith as we recount those things that God has already done, that He has already accomplished in our lives, and in the lives of all those whom we have lifted up to Him. We remind ourselves of God's ceaseless faithfulness in the past and His continued promise to be faithful all the days of our lives. Let us ever keep in mind what it meant for us to be enabled to pray, always bringing to the forefront of our thanksgiving the truth of what Jesus went through on our behalf to open the doors of heaven to our prayers. The writer to the Hebrews triumphantly declares this in Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Hebrews 4, 14 through 16. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and may find grace to help in time of need. Our prayers can proceed firmly rooted in the magnificent and victorious work of Jesus Christ, as our faith in Him transports those prayers on our behalf. We can have faith in Him and what He has accomplished, so we can have faith in what God has already done. The second reality of this faith-embedded prayer life is our constantly bringing to mind the truth that He is our loving Heavenly Father, as detailed by our brother Jesus in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 11, if you would please turn to it. We do not fear coming unto Him. He wants to answer our prayers as we lay our needs before Him. Matthew 7, 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask Him? We can trust Him that He is willing to meet our requests with only the best that He has to offer. We can also count on Him to do it in the perfect manner, in His supremely perfect time. He wants to show us how much He loves us to the utmost, now and forevermore. That leads us to the third recognition that details how we can come to Him in faith as we pray. God loves us, and He cares about us. He cares so much that He even helps us to His fullness in the course of how we ought to pray. Please open to Ephesians 3, 14 through 21, and follow along in this glorious passage, which shows how much God wants us to know and to trust Him and to have the faith that He will do all that He has promised to do in Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3, 14 through 21. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. As this passage points out, the fourth truth of why we can have faith in the Lord answering our prayers is that He can answer them. He is not limited in His power and in His wealth of grace and mercy and love. He is able. Nothing is too difficult for God. Nothing. Now to Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. The next point in this building of the reasons that we can have faith in the reality and the knowledge that God hears and answers our prayers is that He knows what is going on in our lives and in the lives of our loved ones. He is omniscient. He is aware of the needs even before we ask. Jesus pointed out in Matthew 6, 7, and 8 that our Heavenly Father knows us and He knows what our every situation requires. Matthew 6, 7, and 8. And when you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Later in verses 31 through 33 of the same sixth chapter of Matthew, Jesus reinforced this truth with the disciples in the following manner. Matthew 6, 31 through 33. Do not be anxious then, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we clothe ourselves? For all these things the Gentiles eagerly seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. In all truth, God often answers our prayers before we even bring them unto Him, as the prophet Isaiah so fully declared in Isaiah 65:24, from the very mouth of God Himself. Isaiah 65:24. It will also come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear. That in itself is enough reason to rely on the faithfulness of God in answering our prayers, even before we know that we have the need to pray. The truth is that often God will answer a prayer request years before we utter it. As but one example from Scripture, of which there are countless, consider the servant of Abraham as he was going to find a wife for Isaac. He prayed that the Lord would show him exactly the right wife for his master's son. The truth, however, was that God had been preparing Rebecca for many, many years before that prayer was even uttered. God had worked in her to the point that she was ready and willing to become the wife of Isaac. Then as the servant prayed for the one who would offer water for both him and his camels, Rebekah responded with that heart of care and concern and service. This was not a whim on her part, but the manner in which the Lord had worked in her heart for this precise moment through all the years of her upbringing. God is way ahead of us and our prayers and our needs. He prepares hearts to be ready at the precise time that help and encouragement and strength and service are required. The truth is, even meeting here today is an example of God preparing ahead of time. when the need arose yesterday, Alberto and Felice responded of their hearts. And the Lord had already brought into this home six men that had come to visit Roberto, who were able to move all the furniture out and get all the chairs from his brother's home down the street. They were already here, an army waiting to serve before the need had been expressed by us. And they'll be here to help clean up afterward and take everything back as they leave tonight. The Lord is always ahead of all our needs, and He prepares all that is needed to meet those needs. In line with this is the reality that we are not to lose faith in the timing of the Lord's answer to our prayers. So often, if He chooses not to answer immediately, we get impatient and we get frustrated. We will accuse Him of not caring or not really being interested in what we're going through. The fact is that we need to learn to wait upon the Lord, since He is already even answering those prayers that are yet to be uttered. We dare not think that God is late in His answers or slack in His response in any measure. Our having to wait is part of the manner in which He builds up our character and our depth of understanding of who He is and all that He is doing. Again, the prophet Isaiah so wonderfully makes known the value of our faithfully waiting upon the Lord for His time and for His will in response to our prayers. In Isaiah 40, verses 30 and 31, one of our most beloved passages of Scripture. Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. Though youths grow weary and tired, and vigorous young men stumble badly, yet those who wait for the Lord will gain new strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not get tired. They will walk and not become weary. When we need to wait for the Lord, we need to do so with the prayer of faith that requests of the Lord to teach me to wait and to trust You in the waiting, that You are shaping and You are molding and You are developing my character, because You are really more interested in my character than in my comfort. We need to learn what it means to wait on the Lord. And that is where we'll pick up this discussion, Lord willing, next week. So be it. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon at night and said to him, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Amen.